The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter.
Triple M.
Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Saturday edition of Dead Set Legends on, once again, this beautiful Saturday morning. Blue skies everywhere, the sea, we can see it from our studio, looks absolutely magnificent, overlooking the glorious Adelaide Oval. What a way to start a day's work, and what a week it has been in sport. Gee whiz, this has been a huge week. Drama, excitement, you name it. It's all happened this week, and we're going to cover it, folks, between now and midday. If you want to be a part of it, give us a call. Jump on the phone, 133353. As I welcome my partners in crime this morning, gee whiz, I feel in awe. I've got two former champions here. Gee, it's unbelievable. But I'm going to the cream first. Former West Adelaide champion and Crows champion, one only Tyson Edwards. Good morning, Tyson.
Oh, okay, it's good to be here, mate.
Mate, you look fit enough to play.
No, not at all. But looking forward to a cracking show, working with two superstars of the radio. Dom.
Oh, yeah.
The other partner in crime, of course, is former Port Adelaide captain Dom Cassisi. Good morning, Dom.
G'day, Cage. And I'm disappointed you've claimed Tice as a Crows.
Well, he is a West Adelaide man. I love my bloods. Went from West Adelaide to the Crows.
Spent a lot of time at Port Adelaide.
A lot of time. 300-game player for the Crows.
Yeah, short stint there, didn't I, Cage?
Exactly.
Short but sweet.
I must say, I was shattered when he went to Port Adelaide. I've got to tell you right here and now, I was shattered. I can't believe how well you two both get on. Port and the Crows. I thought you were arch enemies.
No, we get on really well. Twice
I bought the boxing gloves in.
No. It's not like that.
We don't play anymore. We've moved on pretty quickly, Cage.
Yeah, old timers now.
What happens on the field?
Stays on. Yeah, I tell you what a week it's been, guys. Can you believe it? It's had everything, hasn't it?
It has.
The whole boxing gloves. And we're going to cover it. We're going to talk to Terry Wallace about the draft. Terry Wallace, of course, the list manager for the draft over there, former Richmond and Bulldogs coach. About where the Bryce Gibbs situation sits at the moment. We're going to talk to Chuck Berry exclusively on Triple M. Chuck is the only interview he'll do. Sadly, talking about the Field Hughes inquest, which has been going all this week, and I just think it's been handled poorly, but more of that a little later. So Darren Berry will join us. He was there on that eventful day, day at the SCG when young Philip Hughes lost his life. We'll talk to Mark Ricciuto. Mahatma Cope will join us. Gee whiz, we've got it all today between now and 12 o'clock. But
what have you got, Cage?
Coming up after the break.
Here we go.
I'm going to make you two guys earn your cash today. I'm going to ask you a tough question.
We're getting paid for this, Dom.
Not much after they pay you. Great man, yeah. Far out.
I'm going to hit you straight between the eyes, and I don't want any pussyfooting around. I want an honest, straightforward answer. That's coming up right after this. Let's kick it off.
What have you got, Cage? You've been fired up this morning.
I want you and Tyson to put yourselves in the crow shoes. The big talking point this week, whole week, is Bryce Gibbs. He's made the point. He wants to come home. I want you and Tyson to tell me, if you were in the crow shoes, who would you give to Carlton to get Bryce Gibbs? Now, I don't want you to pussyfoot around. I want an open and honest answer to this. Who would you give to Carlton to get the Bryce Gibbs deal done?
I think we could both settle this pretty quick, couldn't we?
Yeah.
No one.
Hello?
There you go.
No one. Without taking anything away.
Hang on, just pause there.
No, look, Cage. Without taking anything away from Bryce Gibbs, like, he's been a fantastic player for Carlton, and he is a very, very good player. But if what you said, put myself in the crow shoes, I'm sitting there and I'm going, right, what does our list need to assist us to go to the next level? Do we need a midfielder that doesn't have a lot of pace but accumulates possessions and can use the ball quite well? I would have thought that the Crows are quite satisfied in that area. If the question was, do we need a player that's got a bit more outside speed to complement the likes of a Charlie Cameron and Eddie Betts, I'd be like, yep, that's what they need. Or even a backup ruckman for Sauce.
So you're saying to me,
I don't think that, and this is my opinion, I don't think that's what the Crows need to help them go to the next level.
So you're
is that
saying
type
to me, you wouldn't go for Bryce Gibbs?
I wouldn't go for Bryce Gibbs if I was the Crows.
What? Tyson?
Yeah, no, totally. I absolutely agree with what Dom's saying. He's a fantastic player and has been for a long time. He was a first-round draft pick. But I don't think it's really what the Crows need. Yeah, he's good with the ball and he probably speeds up ball movement, not with his leg speed, but with his kick, his elite kick. But I'm right in Dom's camp. I'd be pushing for more an outside runner like Isaac Smith from Hawthorn. I'll be throwing the kitchen sink at him.
Really?
Who else do we throw at, Dom? With Pierce Hanley, maybe from Brisbane.
Yep.
Zach Tui even from Carlton. So unless they've got this up their sleeve as well, the Crows, they're working on something behind the scenes trying to get one of these type of players. But it makes it difficult when you're getting someone like Bryce Gibbs because you have to give up a lot.
Yep.
To make that happen, can you do that with two picks? I'm not sure. So I'm with Dom. I would be I'll be pushing more for an outside running player.
So you wouldn't consider giving a Jake Lever, a Mitch McGovern, a Brad Crouch involved in the deal for
no Bryce? Way. None of those guys.
None.
Nah. Not the names you've just mentioned. No chance. No chance at all.
And you're saying that he's not the player that you believe the Adelaide Football Club needs?
I don't think so. I mean, I think their midfield's you got the Crouch boys coming through. You know, like a Matt Crouch accumulates possessions. He's using the ball quite well. You've already got him at your club, and he's young. You're going to get a long career out of him. Brad Crouch is only going to get better. They've got a few other players waiting in the wings. So, I mean, I don't think that the type of player Bryce Gibbs is, a great player. I just don't think at his age and what he brings is what the Crows need to help him go the next level.
We're talking about a young man here who's played 209 AFL games for Carlton, won a best and fairest, an Adelaide-born player, and you're saying that he's not the player that Adelaide... I can't believe I'm hearing
this. He's a super player, Cage. There's absolutely no doubting that. He's a super player. We're not saying he can't play the game. But for the Crows to win a premiership, I don't think he's the player they necessarily need. And exactly what Dom's saying, they need that outside ball carrier that quickens them up.
So, Cage, go back to the final that they lost against Sydney Swans.
Yep.
Charlie Cameron that night was fantastic.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
That's the best game I've seen him
Another
play.
One of them.
Yep.
That type of player.
Yep.
That's the sort of play. Elevate them to go to that next level.
That's what made it stand out even more so for me, Dom, because I think everyone was saying that's what they need. But then Cameron had a game that I didn't think he was capable of. Like, you know, he took a big step in his footy career.
Yeah, he did.
And I thought, wow, this could be the kid that fills that void for him.
Yep.
And it stood out even more so in that game for me, Cage, that's what they needed.
I'm absolutely stunned.
Oh, we should have had him. We should have had him at the start, Cage. He shouldn't have never have gone.
Well, he should have been.
But that's
so
another discussion.
Son,
and
that a little later too. Another
discussion.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So, if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Fellas, the face of footy is changing dramatically. And I think it in some way sad. Mm. One club player that appears now after we've seen Sam Mitchell, the Jordan Lewis situation there where he wants to go to Melbourne, that looks to be dead and buried. And I just think that is sad, really, that no longer will that be a part of Australian rules football. They'll just go willy-nilly.
Yeah, it was always probably heading that way, wasn't it? It's been heading that way for a fair while with the trade situation and how we copy the American sports with those sorts of things.
But is that the right way to go, Tyson?
Oh, I don't know whether it's right or wrong, to be honest. I mean, I think everyone would love to see their star player start their club forever. And I still think there's ways of doing it. Like, I think Geelong are a club that do it really, really well. Yeah, they've still had a couple of players that have left and gone to different clubs, but they tend to treat their superstars really well.
Yeah.
The Crows have done it well with Scott Thompson this year.
Exactly right. If I was a Hawthorn supporter and Hawthorn traded both Sam Mitchell, which they have done, and a Jordan Lewis, I'd be shattered. Yeah,
but the thing is, how long would you be shattered for? So if they bring in Mitchell, if they bring in, like, obviously they've got Mitchell from the Swannies, yep. And if they get O'Meara in and they win another 2 to 3 flags over the next 4 years, you'd be like, that's a commercial decision they've made to prolong their success.
But here we're talking about Sam Mitchell.
Oh, I agree with you. But
five best and fairest.
Mate, it's unbelievable.
3 premierships. Yeah. If I was a Hawthorn supporter, I'd be filthy on the club.
Yeah.
I'd be saying, there's a man that's given me, as a supporter, so much joy over so many years and has bled for the club, and he's now gone. Mm. Gone to West Coast Eagles.
Yeah.
And how would I feel when we played the West Coast Eagles to see Sam Mitchell in a West Coast Eagle jumper? I don't know whether it's the right way to go. Perhaps I'm living in the past.
Yeah.
Perhaps I'm being too sympathetic.
It looks it looks a bit... The Sam Mitchell one is really weird because he's going to play for 1 year. And then, you know, he's going to be a coach. So it's like if Bryce Gibbs, for instance, he's been there for 10 years, but then he's looking at another club. That's a little bit different. Sort of, not that it's 50-50, but it's, a fair time at one club and then a reasonable time another. But Sam Mitchell's going to have 1 year probably, Dom, playing for a different club.
But surely money is involved in the Sam Mitchell decision. Surely that loosens up their ability to recruit players.
Yeah.
And that to me is callous. Again, money is ruling what we're doing in sport. Mm. It rules the bloody world, money. And I just don't like it. I'm sorry. I don't like it.
It's amazing. Like, it's actually been an amazing 2 or 3 weeks in footy when you think about it. Like the Western Bulldogs, who won a premiership on the back of, it seems as though that real love amongst the group and the loyalty.
That's what I want to see.
And that emotion of that was so raw and almost old school. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, the commercial side of footy comes to life and it's just everyone's on the table. You've got a 5-year deal, doesn't matter. You can go here, you can go there. So it was like it's been a roller coaster within the AFL circles.
I love the Bulldogs. I love the Bulldog situation where they played for each other, they played for their coach, and they've come from nowhere. And that's what footy's about, surely.
And compare that to North Melbourne and how they've handled their superstars.
Well, there you go.
They've lost
chopped them off.
And then now Wells wants to go. Like that's what happens.
He's gone to Collingwood when
you don't treat those guys with respect that they deserve, and it's not handled well. Then guys underneath that are thinking, well, hang on a minute, that's probably going to happen to me. I should start thinking about what's next for me probably and looking after my career. So there's ways of doing it well, and there's lots of clubs and lots of examples that haven't done it well at all.
I applaud the Adelaide Football Club for looking after
really
Scotty
well.
Thompson. Over 300 games, bled for them, given this. He now becomes, I don't know, am I being old-fashioned?
No, and sometimes it might come back to the player sometimes as well. Like the player might want, because what a lot of people don't understand, I think, when you get to the end of your career, the money diminishes really quickly. Like, the last 2 or 3 years of a contract, if you're lucky enough to play to 32, 33, 34, your contract's basically half from because you take a long time to build up to a good wage.
Yeah.
And then I don't think the punters out there understand that, like, Luke Hodge is probably playing on 240 grand a year, which sounds like a lot of money, but for what he's actually worth, he's probably more worth $600,000-$700,000.
How would he feel if Sam's gone and he's played alongside him in those 3 premierships? Jordan Lewis goes, he's played alongside him in 3 premierships, and he's played all these games with Mitchell and Jordan Lewis, and suddenly they're gone. Mm. I don't know. I don't like it. To me, it's.
It's losing its soul a bit, Cage.
Oh, right? We just sell our soul. We do. We've got a big hour coming your way, folks. One thing that's got under my nose this week has been the AFL. Honestly, at times, they are pathetic. I've got to say that. The handling of the Job Watson situation, they're not going to make a decision until later in this month. It's been 2 years and they still haven't made a decision on whether or not Job will keep his Brownlow medal because of the drama surrounding the Essendon Football Club. And the other thing about it, Dom, am I right in saying that the AFL have asked Cotchin and Sam Mitchell, who tied for second spot, to give reasons whether they'd accept the Brownlow?
Yeah, look, they have, Cage. They approached Cotchin and Mitchell, who have both declined an offer, to state their case as to why they should win the Brownlow. or be given the Brownlow, why they should receive it. And conversely, Job's been invited to go in front of the commission and show them why he deserves to keep
What's
it.
What's he going to say?
Now,
sounds like a school assignment or something.
It does. But, I mean, these commissioners have had two years plus to sort it out. And these commissioners are on boards of international multi-million dollar companies, and they are there to make decisions every day. Now, it goes back to the start of the year when it came back to the top-up players that, you know, remember that discussion, should Port be allowed a top-up player because of Ryder and that?
Monfries?
The AFL then couldn't make a decision. They go to the opposition clubs and go, right, guys, do you think Port Adelaide should be allowed a top-up player?
What are they going
to
say?
What are they going to say? Of course, no. Mate, you're there to make a decision. Gillon McLachlan, the AFL commission, make a decision based on the information you've got. The information's not going to change.
They should, as a body, controlling body, make a decision now about Job Watson, whether he's going to keep it or lose the medal, and say we award it to Mitchell and Cochin, who tied for second place. If the players say no, they don't want it, that's their prerogative.
Yeah.
But at least make the call, make a decision on it, for goodness sake.
What do you think Sam Mitchell and Trent Cochin would say anyway? Have they got like...
When they get called up.
Oh, it's embarrassing, isn't it? Like, oh, come in, boys, tell us why you think you should win. Job, you come in and have your say on why you think you should win. The best debater will win.
Yeah, so say, twice I'll ask you, right? So say, and I hope this doesn't happen, but say Job gets stripped of his medal and Cochin and Mitchell are awarded the Brownlow medalist. How do you think they will feel about being Brownlow medalists based on that on that scenario?
I think it'd be very similar to what Bob Murphy went through with the Western Bulldogs.
Correct.
Fantastic thing that Beveridge did give him his medal, and it was a great spectacle to see. But the next day he gives it back because he knows, Dom, that he wasn't out there. He didn't play. The medal actually doesn't mean much to him. You know, it'll be the same for those boys.
It's a good point.
I think it'd be exactly the same. Like, I didn't really win it. Oh, you know, we came second, and now they've given it to us because of what's happened. So I think it's going to be similar. You know, and they've said the subject's being broached about every member of a team getting a medal.
You wouldn't really want
it, would you?
You've got to be out there playing.
You just want to be out there playing. The medal, you can do whatever you want with the medal, but I just want to be there on the day.
Exactly.
thanks very much, Cranken. Thank you, Carmen.
Mahatma Coase is back on your radio.
Yes, he certainly is. It's that time of the morning as we welcome that sporting guru, the man who knows exactly what is happening in the wonderful world of sport and life, as we welcome Mahatma Coate to the program. Good morning, Mahatma.
Good morning, Cunnington. Good morning, Kisnesi. Good morning,
Mike Tyson,
Edward.
How are you, Mahatma?
Mahatma, what about Donald Trump?
Oh, he's gone, Cunnington. The polls positions are showing that he is sliding down a greasy pole. he is gone. He was making sexually untransmissible stuff to Hillary Clinton. He was stalking her on the stage. Did you see him? She was trying to talk and he was walking behind her like a headmaster.
I know. It was terrible. Absolutely. And what about these allegations from these ladies coming out at the moment, Mahatma, destroying him?
Well, that is it, Cunnington. He is obviously in trouble with the animal activist population in America as well.
Why?
Well, he's grabbing ladies' cats. Apparently, everywhere he goes, he's grabbing them on the cat. And I am reading this. You can't do that. So they are up in arms. Hillary Clinton is now going to be the president of the United States. She called him a stalker. And Cunnington, this is something close to my heart because my nephew, Ramshad Hall, he's got a new girlfriend.
What's her name?
I'm not sure who is calling him a stalker as well. He said he's a stalker. Well, she's not really his girlfriend yet, but, you know.
She will be soon.
She will be soon, that is it. But, look, I don't think the modern world is wanting Donald Trump as the president. I think he's a bit of a loose cannon, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. You're spot on. Now, Mahatma, what about President Obama? What's he done with the cigars? He's banned the Cuban cigars, has he?
Well, Cunnington, no, quite in the reversing of that. He, Cunnington, you know, I've spent a lot of time in the United States.
Yes.
And for years... Look, I have loved a big cigar.
Yes.
There's nothing better than lying back after, you know, having a special cuddle with Shiraz and lighting up a big stogie in bed. I've always felt that that is the way that things should happen.
Yep.
But you can't get a Cuban cigar because they are banned.
Why?
Obama has said in his latest trade deal with Cuba, okay, you can have Cuban cigars in America again. And I've got to say, one person, well, two people are particularly happy about this particular event.
Who's that, Mama?
Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky.
Really?
Well, that is it. Because really? No longer, Monica says no longer is she going to have to hide them.
She's doing it in public,
funny?
Yeah.
That is funny. Isn't it funny that the cigar situation in the White House has raised its ugly head? One man is saying, bring them in. The other man was told, pull them out.
What, Mahatma, what's next for Donald Trump? What's his next job going to be?
I think it is going to be a reality television show.
Oh, couldn't possibly be that, Mahatma.
It will be. And it will be all based around grab the cat or not grab the cat.
Now, Mahatma, the other issue, what about Bob Dylan, the Nobel Prize winner?
That is it, Cunnington. I want to know, have you ever seen her blowing in the wind? I've got to say, a Nobel Peace Prize. What about that other song he used to do where it says, you're on the same, you're the rain, you're a cane. I mean, the man just sits down and smokes big, dirty Bob Marleys all day and writes 100 words that will rhyme and says, I'll put this into a song. And we all say, oh, that is brilliant. Well done, Bob. Good on you. I mean, and they don't even know whether he's going to accept it. Cunnington, did you know, and Chris Nissey and Mike Tyson, that...
Mike Tyson.
It's not Mike Tyson, it's Tyson Edwards.
That is it. And did you know that Bob Willis, the English cricketer?
Yes.
He actually changed his name to Bob Dylan Willis.
Did he really? Why?
Well, I don't know. He's a Cunnington, but he was such a big fan. And, you know, everyone seems to think this Bob Dylan is a guru of, you know, he makes these marvellous words. He doesn't. You know.
So you're not a fan?
I am not a fan. I am telling you what, I think the stuff he writes hits the fan.
Now, Mahatma, did you read the story about the gorilla in the London Zoo?
That is it, Cunnington. When I first heard about this, I thought, oh no, Serena has gone mad again. But it wasn't. It wasn't, in fact, Serena. It was, in fact, the gorilla this time that got out of the London Zoo. And it took me back to my days in Adelaide years and years ago. When I first came to Australia, I took Shiraz to the Adelaide Zoo.
And what happened?
Well, the first day it was closed because they said the snail was sick. So the zoo was closed down. And then the second day we went in and they had a big gorilla in the zoo, Cunnington.
Yes.
And he was a big silverback. And anyway, Shiraz went up to the cage.
Yes.
And he was talking to her and talking to her. I said, look at this, Shiraz, he loves you. And she was playing him. Anyway, that particular gorilla got quite excited.
Did he really? You
know? Oh, yes, Cunnington. And, you know, they don't wear underpants, gorillas. And you could see that he was excited. And he was playing with a banana. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I did?
Well, what?
I picked your ass up and pushed her straight into the gorilla pen. And I said, now, go on, tell him you've got a headache. You know? You should have seen her. She ran out of there faster than stuff through a gorilla. But they had to shoot the gorilla, not shoot him dead, but they put a...
Tranquilizer.
That is it. Yeah. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's the same tranquilizer I get of a nighttime as well. But, yeah, thank you very much.
Now, Mahatma, just in closing, Gwyneth Paltrow, the great actress, she's using vegetable oil. What for? What's happening?
Well, that's what I thought. When I saw the headline, I thought, hello, Gwyneth is at it again, a bit of Coldplay, you know, because she was married to that particular man.
Yeah.
But no, she is saying she has found the secret of youthfulness by rubbing avocado
Yes.
Oil all over her body.
Really?
Cunnington, I was lying there thinking, oh, Gwyneth Paltrow with avocado oil on her. Very good. She is also putting another oil substance that sort of, it's a creamy substance in her hair.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, well, that is catching on pretty quick, because the other night I did see Ramshit House come out of the bedroom with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it looked like she'd been putting custard in her hair as
really?
Well.
Really?
I said, hey, you want to get rid of that before you go out to the movies, you idiot, isn't it? That is about all the news we have.
Mohammed, please give my love to Shiraz.
I will do, Cunnington. I am flying back to the... I was in Adelaide yesterday, did the Burnside Footy Club down at Adelaide District Sports Club last night. Fantastic night.
Yes.
I will be back in about 2 weeks' time to do some more shows. But flying back to the Gold Coast this morning and then back to Adelaide and heading up to Broken Hill. Yes, that is it.
Beautiful.
On Tuesday and Wednesday. You know what I'm doing, Cunnington?
Well, what are you doing?
I'm going up there fossicking.
Fossicking for what?
Fossicking for gold.
Gold. Yep. The mind boggles.
No, the mine boggles, Cunnington. That's the gold mine.
Thank you, Mahatma. Talk to you next week.
Goodbye. Thank you very much.
See you,
bye, Mahatma. The one and only Mahatma.
He's all over it.
Unbelievable.
The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter.
Triple M.
Well, it's been a sad week in lots of ways, of course, with the Phil Hughes inquest. And I've got to say, I've expressed my views, Tyson and Dom. I've been extremely disappointed with the way the inquest has gone in my view down the wrong road, and to see some of those players. Been devastated. Doug Bollinger, Tommy Cooper in tears. It just gave me the impression that somewhere on the way somebody wanted to apportion the blame on one of the cricketers. And I think that's a very, very sad day. And look, our heart goes out for the Hughes family. One can only imagine how tough it would have been. Let's welcome to the program now, of course, a very good friend of Triple M. In fact, he is our worker, Chuck Berry. Chuck, thanks for your time.
Good morning, boys. No problems. I'm up in Sydney at the moment, KG, as you know, and doing a bit of work on Channel 9. And look, it has been a very tough week. It's been the lead story up here in Sydney. Yep. On the news and in the newspaper. And I concur with your words. It's been very difficult for myself, to be honest, as the coach of the team at the time. But I know Tom Cooper, he was very devastated by what took place in this coronial inquest.
Chuck, I made the point. I believe it's gone down the wrong road. It's put the players under an enormous amount of pressure, I believe, unfairly. You were there on that very sad day at the Sydney Cricket Ground. You've spoken to the players. What's your take on it, Chuck?
Yeah, look, I'm probably similar to you. It has been very difficult. First and foremost, can I say, like you have, Ken, that you can only imagine and empathise with the Hughes family. You know, that Ken, they've lost an adored son, a loving brother, and a wonderful, wonderful young man. So not for one minute, do I not detract from that. But I couldn't see the purpose in this coronial inquest. For mine, there was no winners because, as you said, unfortunately and sadly, I was there on the day. And it was a freak situation, a freak accident. The next question you might ask, was there intimidation?
Exactly.
Was there short bowling?
Yep.
Ken, there was, but guess what? You played 97 Shield games as well. First-class cricket is hard.
Tough.
And tough.
Yep.
And Philip Hughes was a player that everybody knows throughout his career had had difficulties in navigating the short delivery.
Yep.
So, was there short deliveries? Of course there was. Was it out of hand? No way, in my opinion, was it out of control. It was, they were definitely targeting, you know, trying to get him out hooking or cutting.
Exactly.
And that's what happens, KG, all the time. If you detect a weakness, somebody's a weak driver, you pitch it up. If they're weak against the short ball. So that's my take on that side of it. Was there sledging on the field? I don't absolutely know that because I wasn't out there. I take Tom Cooper 100% on his word that there was nothing out of the ordinary. There was some banter, and there always is.
Of course there is.
And Philip Hughes, boys, as you know, he was formerly of New South Wales. Now, when you go and play against your old state or old team, it doesn't matter what sport it is, and Dom and Tyson would even know this from football, there's always that little extra bit of niggle. I'm sure when Dangerfield played against the Crows, the boys would have been saying, oh, you know, you left us dry. That's what happens in sport.
Yeah. Does it even matter, though, Chuck? Like, what's that got to do with anything that should be going on with this inquest? Like, what does it matter that there was a bit of argy-bargy out there? I mean, that's got nothing to do with it, has it?
I think it's a good point you make, Tyson, but I think, and I don't know this, so this is only my opinion, but I think when you're dealing, Tyson, with a grieving family that can't comprehend that their boy can be taken from them playing a game that he loved, I think, as KG said in the introduction, that they're probably still searching for answers as to how this could happen. Yeah. But the direction that it's taken, like, players have been made to feel like criminals.
Exactly right.
That's the saddest part.
Totally unfair. Chuck, the other thing, I think it's been a dark week for cricket, because what it has done, and the impressions I get, and please correct me if you don't agree, it's driven a wedge between the Hughes family and some of the players.
Well, it appears that way up here.
Because they stormed out of the court yesterday.
They did. I sent a personal message last night to Philip's sister, Megan, who I've had a little bit to deal with. Now, at this point, she hasn't responded, but I know that she was very, very upset. And, you know, throughout the last 2 years, she hasn't really coped with it. And that's totally understandable.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a terrific situation. Mm. But, yeah, from me, Ken, looking, and I haven't been called. I'm glad in a sense that I haven't, because it's been a tough time for me as well. But I've read the papers a little bit, and I've watched the news. It's hard to avoid. And exactly what you said, that the family almost, it appears, were like against the cricketers. Now, I don't believe in my heart of hearts that was their intention, but that's how it's been portrayed. Yeah,
exactly right, Chuck. Yeah. And that's the sad thing about it.
Chuck, surely, you know, on the back of what Tyson said about, you know, and what the discussion is, it's a freak accident, and there's always argy-bargy, that elite level. Surely the inquest, it would have been coming out, something great to come out of the inquest would have been, how does this not happen again from a safety perspective? Like, should the helmets be redesigned? Could that have prevented something like this? Is that where it should have gone down that path, as opposed to being a witch hunt on the players that are out there on the day?
Yes, absolutely. And there'd already been I don't know the exact name of it, but there'd already been an inquiry, an inquest or a hearing about it to talk about those things. And no doubt what this tragedy may have done is, as we move forward, and it should be in all forms of cricket, that you do have absolutely the best available 100% safety equipment. Ethical officers at call. You know, I mean, there was a doctor there on the day, and again, you know, I would say that they did absolutely everything they could do, but what my understanding is that the freak nature of the incident and where it struck Philip, that nothing really could have been done. And
no.
Horrific as it sounds, man, it sounds like almost like a car accident type of situation where, you know, an artery in his neck had been severed and there was nothing that could have been done. Now, I don't absolutely know that, but that's what I've been told.
Chuck, can I ask you, what were your last words to young Phil Hughes at lunchtime when he went out to bat after that first session? As coach, what did you say to him in the change rooms?
I'd been upstairs just prior to the luncheon break with Mark Waugh, who is an Australian selector. And at the time, just to paint the picture for our listeners, that Michael Clarke was injured and they were looking for a replacement for the first test match. And I knew, as you do as coach, that through some information that Philip was awfully close. So Mark Waugh and I were discussing that upstairs and he was asking me about Philip. And, you know, I knew it was a pretty important innings. At the luncheon break, I can't remember his exact score, but he was clearly, you know, somewhere around 50 from my memory and heading in the right direction. And I just put my arm around him in the rooms and I had a really good relationship with him because I'd recruited him to South Australia.
Yep.
He reminded me a lot of myself, Ken. He was a country boy that was a bit cheeky.
Yep.
You know, I don't mind
good
saying
lad.
This. And he was a bit of a smart ass, but he also was very empathetic to people. And we had a really good bond. You know, when you coach a team and you have players under your tutelage, that's what you try and do. I put my arm around him and I just said, you look like you're on today, little man. I used to call him little man. And he looked up at me. And so that was my words. You know, you look like you're on. Make sure you get a big one today. And he looked at me and he said, gee, it's tough out there, coach. He said, that's how I like it.
So
and
there you go.
That's how he did like it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's how I like it. And then, you know, he did say, Cage, to me, and I suppose these words, they haunt me, but at the same time, they comfort me, that he said, that his last words to me, he said, they're not going to get me today, coach. Mm. He was on for a big innings. He was 63, not out, and I believed he was in for a big 100 and would have been recalled to the test team. And unfortunately, a freak accident happened, yep. and that were the last words that I spoke to a young man that I had enormous respect for.
Chuck, look, we appreciate your time this morning. I know it's been difficult for you because that moment, sad moment, will stay with you forever. We appreciate your time, and I just think it's been disappointing and a dark week for cricket and a tough week, of course, for the Hughes family. We appreciate your time, Chuck.
No worries, boys. Cheers.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck Berry. That'd be tough for Chuck.
It's hard for everyone, isn't it? It brings it all back again. It is.
But the sad thing about all this, I believe, has driven a wedge between the Hughes family and some of the players. Yeah. When we saw how close they were at Phil Hughes' funeral, they were shoulder to shoulder, arms around each other, embracing each other. I just think it's a very, very sad occasion.
Darren Berry on Dead Set Legends.
The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter. Triple M.